everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, December the 5th, 2025. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the show. We're from broadcasting from the Central Tucson studios of Green Things, Zocalo Village, and the Bustos Media Center, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live local news and talk. We'll wrap up 15 years of the radio show on December the 30th, but Dan Scheer is with me here in the studio. And Dan, I tell you, in nearly 60 years, I've always been at the right place at the right time.
And today's one of those days.
It is one of those days, because we've got some breaking news. Newly sworn in, Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva is with us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Adelita, what's going on? I know you're on your way over to the studio. What happened this morning?
Well, I it's one of the restaurants I go to on a regular basis all the time. And so we're headed there for lunch, and there was the road was blocked off. There were four ICE vehicles there, and I don't know, 40 or 50 ICE agents, most of them masked, and the traffic was blocked off by their vehicles. And so people were screaming and yelling, and I went in and said, you know, what's going on here? They asked me to identify myself. I did, and was moments later sprayed in the face with pepper spray, pushed around. They were very, very aggressive. And, you know, I don't know what they were doing there. I have no idea. That I was trying to get clarification. They said they didn't have to tell me anything. So there were about 50 members, maybe 60 of the community screaming at them to get out of their communities. And yeah, so I'm so sorry. I'm going to be there with you in person, because I want to celebrate all that you've done with our community, and, you know, all of the time that we've spent on the air. But yeah, when you see me, I'll have a couple little red spots where the pepper spray hit.
Adelita, we did not, just at the beginning, your phone kind of broke up, and Dan and I and the listeners did not hear what restaurant you were on your way to.
Taco Giro. It's on Grande and like St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. It's a restaurant there.
Did you get a sense that there was a raid going on, obviously, or did you never really get any information?
No, but I mean, so there was some, I don't know what the, I think most of it is not accurate. I mean, literally, this is, sure, restaurant has been in our community for decades. I don't know what all of the reasons were, but I asked for clarification. I asked if they had anyone detained in any of those vehicles. What's been happening across the nation is ICE is targeting small mom and pop restaurants and businesses, targeting those that have an I-19 visa, so a work visa permit, and targeting those communities because they're not going to target the big organizations. These small mom and pop don't have the resources to be able to, you know, fight for their employees or, in some cases, the business owner. So that's what's been happening across the nation, and I think that regardless of what paperwork was being submitted, that's the target. ICE can't hit their target in the number of deportations, so they're trying to get creative on targeting people who have the right to be here legally.
Were you directly sprayed, or was it kind of just spray over? Were you the target?
Oh, no. It was directly sprayed in our area. I mean, it was literally, the man was very aggressive to everybody and just targeting people straight in the face. There were press that were hit specifically. And yeah, there are many of us, dozens of us that were hit in the eyes.
Did anything get physical besides, you said that that you were kind of pushed around a little bit. Is this just kind of jostling from the crowd, or what was going on?
Oh, no. They were directly, ICE agent was directly pushing me. Right. And even when I said, my name is Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva, mm-hmm, you know, don't push me around. Mm-hmm. And it didn't deter her at all. So, I mean, I think that, you know, if that's the way they're going to treat me, I mean, how horrible are they treating everybody else? And we saw it firsthand.
So that was such a key point that you just brought up. You identified yourself as a United States congressperson, and there was no, this did not change the behavior of the person you identified. You said it was a woman masked who was spraying you in the face. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a man that was spraying and the woman was pushing. There were more than, it was more than one agent, but there were two very specific ones. One, they were also shooting at people in the legs with like pellet guns. You, if you go down the intersection, you'll see a lot of like little white stains all over. It's pretty scary. And, you know, so many in our community and the people that were there in the community were coming out of their homes saying, get out of our neighborhood. Because we've seen the stories all over the nation, and I'm very afraid that these kinds of things are going to be happening more and more. What they're doing is, in some cases, they are notifying local, law enforcement, saying that it's a Customs and Border Patrol sort of issue, when it literally is ICE just targeting people for immigration.
Speaking specifically to this incident, what is your next step as a member of Congress?
Oh, I'm going to inquire as to who was in charge, who was there, take pictures of what happened. And again, the unfortunate part is I asked for identifiable information, like, who are you? And they would not, everything was covered. There's no identifiable information. So they can go in and continue to, you know, violate people's rights and not have any kind of consequences.
Did you know that this was going on, or did you just happen to pull up and, gosh, there it was?
No, we heard about it as we were going there. And, you know, I don't have, like, security or any of that. So I'm sure if I did, they might have been more in the loop. But, you know, this is happening in our communities. And in every corner of the nation, and it's really scary when it's literally around the corner and a place that you frequent all the time.
Okay, to recap, if folks are just joining us, we have Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva on our live line. Congresswoman was pepper sprayed in the face as she was going to a restaurant on Grande, correct? Again, the name of the restaurant?
Yes. Taco Giro.
Okay. And you did not know this was going on when you and your colleagues were going to the restaurant, correct?
No, we were going for lunch, and then ended up kind of walking in on what was happening. And the street was blocked off, and, you know, I parked the car. I wanted to see what was happening. I wanted to see if people were, you know, if everyone was okay. I mean, really, that's part of my job, right, is to document and inquire about what's happening. And it was just very scary.
And this incident, Congresswoman, comes on the heels of something that you spoke very passionately about on the floor of the House, about condemning an illegal Border Patrol raid that was targeting the well-known nonprofit group No More Deaths. What was that all about?
Right. That was in Arivaca. And the location had been raided before. It's called Bird Camp. It's been raided before, but they had a warrant. And in this case, they didn't have a warrant. And so the volunteers that were there clearly read the law accurately and ended up, the officers left and then returned shortly thereafter, saying that they were in hot pursuit when literally none of the circumstances had changed. And then, you know, kind of bulldozed their way into Bird Camp.
Right. And hot pursuit is a reason to be able to go in. But the people at the camp were saying, if you were in hot pursuit, why were you waiting outside for an hour?
Correct.
Came on in and did what they need to do and made some arrests. So.
Yes.
So this is interesting, and you bring up a good point that, you know what, everyone in the United States is treated the same way and with their processes and all of this. But when a member of Congress steps in, what does it say that they didn't give you the courtesy of pulling you aside and saying, look, here's what's going on, here's who we are, et cetera? What does that say today?
It says that this department and this administration is encouraging this kind of lawlessness, this kind of barbaric treatment
of our community members. And it doesn't matter whether you are a sitting member of Congress or not. They're going to bulldoze over your rights, and they don't care, and there are no consequences. And so that's why that's why I felt it really important, you know, when these kind of situations come up, to talk about it, to let people know and amplify what's happening every day. Because this is the first time that I have been present for it firsthand, and it was frightening. It's frightening for all of our staff. You're just, you know, it throws you off when this is your community. It's literally across the street from a church and a bakery. I mean, this is where we go to all the time.
But this is what
preschool, literally a preschool had to be shut down because of what was happening.
Well, this is the frustration that's going on, is that these things are going on. They're deporting people who shouldn't be deported. And then people just throw their hands in the air and say, why is this allowed to go on? Where is the accountability for this?
Where is the accountability? Where is it? And that, I mean, if we're going, you know, we're going to have some real discussion about what's happening here. I think it's important for us to say, look, we have, I heard from city members of Congress in a shadow hearing yesterday of the kinds of things that they're seeing, and the fact that they can't do their due diligence and go and inspect areas where their constituents are. I mean, this is happening all over, and it's very, very scary.
Dan, I don't know if we have mentioned this, but Channel 9, KGUN, is reporting that 16 search warrants across southern Arizona are being executed.
And they're related to immigration and tax violations is what they're reporting. But I tell you, when you get a member of Congress involved who's pepper sprayed, this elevates things quite a bit. But we all should be alarmed. And this is not political for me, left or right, liberal or conservative. This is that the due processes are not being respected. And it's frustrating.
Right. It is. It's horrible. And it's so scary. And, you know, people say, well, if they're not here legally, it's like they are. They are legally. I mean, if you have their I-19 information, they have permission to work here.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, they are doing the legal process. It's kind of like, you know, when ICE agents stand outside of a courtroom. It's like, well, they're here because they're going through their due process. This is the process that we've outlined. And so what we're seeing now is it doesn't really matter if you have legal status here or not, if you're a citizen or not. If you are a person of color, they suspect you of being here illegally, they get to treat you whichever way they want. That should scare everybody.
Exactly. But what do you do when a judge orders a deportation plane to turn around midair and it doesn't? It still takes these deportees to the country. And then people are saying, well, what next? I guess it appears everything's ending up in the courts. Is that really what the process should
be? That's literally it's not what the process should be, but this administration doesn't care. It doesn't care about due process. And part of the problem is Congress has not taken away Trump's emergency ability to be able to dictate a lot of these things. There is a discharge petition that I signed that should force a vote on taking some of these powers away from Trump. These executive powers are an overreach, and it was granted to him during an emergency period at the beginning of this term. And we are not in a state of emergency. He's creating an emergency everywhere they go.
But that's what he is getting people on his side about. We have a state of emergency in this city, in that city. Oh, they're all Democratic run. And when are people going to wake up? Because this is heading in a really, really bad direction.
No, it's very scary. And it's something that we should all be very concerned about.
Okay, Adelita, about how far are you, do you think, from the station? Should we take
I'm walking in, actually.
Oh, you're actually. Oh, that's a perfect time. Perfect time for us to take the first break on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer is here. Dan, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and his new responsibility, he is now the editor of the Nogales International. So border stuff now is really close to you, right?
Absolutely, and I love it down there.
All right, Dan, we're going to take the break. We're going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, and then we will hear some from the great Buckmaster Show sponsors. Many of these people have been with me 15 years. They've been with me since day one, and this program wouldn't have been possible without them, and that includes Mona's Danish Bakery, Steve and the team up there. Steve has done a great job of bringing kind of a European sensibility with his pastries, including, Dan, the Danish Kringle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that scream of Christmas? So that's their signature pastry up there, monasdanishbakery.com, and their website's monasdanishbakery.com, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Adelita Grijalva walking into the studio right now. Let me see where you were sprayed.
Boy.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Red welts on a congressman's face after she was pepper sprayed with ice, and she did identify, excuse me, I'm a United States congressperson, and that did not stop what happened. Okay, Brendan, take the break right now. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at rtanext.com.
All right, Buckmaster with you on a Friday. Adelita Grijalva, United States Representative, is now joining us after being pepper sprayed. She's got a couple of welts on her face. But we do have a call. Dan Shears here. Dan is now the editor of the Nogales International, in addition to his work at Saharita Sun and the Green Valley News. Let's take a quick call. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, Rick Cornell here.
Hi, Rick.
Well, sir, it's been a long time since I've had the opportunity to listen to your show on and off, but I just wanted to say thank you for your contribution to our community and all you've done, and wish you all the best and hope you get to really enjoy your next ventures and I just wanted to call and just say thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I've always enjoyed working with you. And I'm kind of looking at this, and Adelita, great to see you in person. I'm looking at this as not really retirement. It's retirement from the daily radio show, but kind of opening a new chapter. I'm retooling my business. We're going to be creating content for Tucson International Airport. We're going to be doing stuff with Green Things. I hope Bon Voyage Travel. So there's another chapter here that will include some work, a little bit of travel every month, some wellness stuff, a little bit of volunteering for the community. So, Adelita, I'm not going away.
Good. I was just going to say, good. I'm glad you called Rick to let him know that we're going to miss you on a daily.
All right. Yeah. Let's. We've got folks joining us now who had not been listening but had heard about what has gone on. Tell us briefly what happened this morning. Mm-hmm.
So I was heading to Taco Giro, which is on Grande and St. Mary's, and came upon four vehicles in the middle of the road, a crowd of about 60 people, and about 40 to 50 ICE agents.
40 to 50?
Yeah, there were a lot of them. They were piled into many vehicles, into a van, and they were sort of blocked there by the community. And I've seen this happen across the nation. And what you see is community members stopping the vehicles from leaving in order to allow the people that they've detained, you know, to encourage mm-hmm. them to let them go. I did ask. I introduced myself. I asked if they had anyone detained there, and they said no. And there were several agents that were very aggressive to everybody, and they were still aggressive to me even after I introduced myself. Pushing, you know, shot pepper spray. Literally, a reporter stood right in front of me in order for it not to hit me directly, which he looked like he was in a world of hurt. And it's really like the side of my face that got hit. But there were so many others mm-hmm. that were, I mean, and there was absolutely no reason for that. Mm-hmm. You know, just if you say we're out of here, we're going to mm-hmm. leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, the crowd would have dispersed. Mm-hmm. TPD showed up after in order to get the road open again. And so I appreciate their role there. And they had nothing to do with the raid. And we're there really to protect the community and get the road open.
And our friend Dylan Smith just checking in with me on messaging on Facebook that our friend Paul Ingram, Paul's been great, one of our regulars here on our Friday program. Paul was sprayed directly in the face, according to Dylan.
He was the one who blocked me. Just didn't want to say his name if he didn't want
to. No, he was standing in front of Adelita Grijalva, and he got a full blast right in the face.
Right in the face.
And probably prevented you from getting that full blast.
Nope.
But you've got welts on the side of your face. Your eye is starting to close on your left side. So, it's pretty.
So I'm not looking my best here for our last interview, Bill.
So I can imagine what poor Paul is going through, having to get a full. I don't even know how long what you do for a being sprayed.
So Chief Kazmar called me and checked on me. He said you need to, like, wash your face with milk or milk of magnesia, something like that, and that when you go home, don't take a shower because all of that will drip down and whatever's on my face will burn the rest of me. So make sure to wash your face separate from the shower.
Go ahead now. Dan Scheer with us, of course.
So when just before they pepper sprayed, what were they saying? Were they saying get back? Did they feel like they were being encroached upon? What led to it?
Initially, from what I understand, they were like, we're just trying to get our cars out of the way. And I said, do you have anyone in that is being detained in any of those vehicles? They said no. And I said, okay, so if we get out of the way, you will leave. They said yes. And then there was a little bit of a break, and they didn't leave right away and ended up arresting two people. I assume it is for, you know, kind of a disorderly conduct, and that they were going to the federal jail. But we have a little federal kind of detention in the base of the federal courts, but we don't have a jail. So.
Would you say they were panicking, the agents?
I think that they were not expecting that kind of community organization at all. And really, you could see people walking out of their doors and coming there. I mean, Barrio Hollywood is a very tight-knit community. Taco Giro is a restaurant that a lot of us go to. And so that's the kind of protection I think that our communities are feeling like they have to provide when you have ICE that is really lawless. It's like a gang of thugs coming into places.
Okay, our friend Brendan has a comment on the other side of the glass. Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, so just kind of looking into the situation today and what's going on is what's being reported is seemingly that it almost sounds like it was a joint operation between ICE and the IRS because they're serving search warrants with tax violations. And I saw a lot of local residents and stuff talking on like Reddit and other things. People are actually asking the question, since when can ICE agents enforce tax law?
And yeah, like, is that a that thing? About?
So exactly.
Good point, right. Brendan.
Yep. Yeah. I think they're coming up with any reason that they can to use any amount of force. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing right now across the nation, this is not new, this is happening in other communities as well. They're targeting small mom and pop businesses that don't have the resources to fight for their employees that have an I-9. I mean, mm-hmm. they're there legally working, mm-hmm. but because they can't meet the quota anymore that, you know, this administration has set, now they're going after people who have legal status in our communities.
You wonder if this was targeted around, some of these raids, I guess, were going on while the council members at the TCC were being sworn in the other day. You wonder if all this has been intentional.
Right. And then you look at where people, these raids are being targeted, and they're in Democratic cities with Democratic mayors, with Democratic leadership. It's not a coincidence that this is happening here.
So how are things other than this?
Other than this.
How are things going? You finally got sworn in.
I did.
It took forever.
50 days.
Yeah.
Broke a record. Right. But there is a member that was just elected, and 36 hours of his election, he was sworn in. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. So as I have been saying, if I were a Republican, I would have been sworn in a long time ago. But I did sign on to almost 60, co-sponsored 60 pieces of legislation and signed 8 discharge petitions in the first week.
The president's ratings just been plummeting. Do you think this is boding very well for the midterm elections?
Well, even what happened in Tennessee just recently, I mean, that was a plus 22 Trump area that got competitive.
Yeah.
And so now what that means is that if we organize and target even in areas that have historically gone with more conservative representatives, if you're talking about policies, that's resonating with people. It doesn't matter whether you're left or right. Talk about policies. And I think really people appreciate it, especially working families that are struggling so hard right now with this economy. With
How's
Trump's
your
economy.
Welcome been in D.C.? I mean, D.C. is not something that's unfamiliar to your family. I'm sure there were a lot of people there that, you know, felt very strongly about your dad that were saying, hey, Adelita, welcome to D.C.
There were a lot of people that were really welcoming, a lot of people that, you know, were really good friends of my dad, so that was really sweet. I think what's been interesting is people say, well, you know D.C. because your dad was here so long.
Right.
I said, it's kind of like if my dad were a pilot. You're not going to throw me in a cockpit and go, okay, go at it.
You know. Yeah, like.
So I've never been in D.C. I never worked the Hill. Yeah. I never was a staffer. And so it's all been very new, and I feel like I'm chronically lost.
Dan Scher, you're covering Nogales, and Adelita's got an event down there.
She does. This evening, we're going to hope you're going to make it. I was down there this morning, and the newspaper is celebrating its 100th anniversary. Mm. And so we had an open house, and I told people, hey, I'm going to talk to Adelita Grijalva later today. What would you ask her? And they said, in English and Spanish, we hope she's her own person. Her dad was one, and her and she is another. And then they pointed out kind of the differences between you, and they also hope for infrastructure help down there. But you're in a long shadow here with your dad, big shadow.
Oh, huge. My whole life.
Yeah.
Okay, my entire life. Yeah. Yes, this is nothing new. But what I keep saying is our values are exactly the same. I'm very proudly Raul Grijalva's daughter, will always be. But when you look at the kind of fights that we've had to go into, they're different. I mean, we both, I mean, literally, I followed in every step from Tucson Unified School District Governing Board to Pima County Supervisor, now in Congress. But the fights are different. The people are different. And, you know, Congress is very different than it was 22 years ago. It's very divisive. But I'm hoping there are a couple people literally came over, especially older Republicans, that said, you know, your dad and I didn't agree on very much, but we really got along. He's a good friend. And I'm like, that's great. Well, and that's the kind of thing that we need more of, is treat people like people.
Right.
We don't have to politically agree on everything, mm-hmm. but there are some things that should be non-negotiable. And I do think that I received a lot of attention for the delay in my swearing in and that obstruction. And across the board, across both sides of the aisle, that was really deemed as an obstruction from everyone, that was not okay.
Hmm.
But was it accurate that Speaker Mike Johnson said she doesn't know how things work around here?
Well, he said that.
He did.
But I think that everybody, I mean, he said it at a press conference, not to me.
Right to you.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So how do things work around there?
Well, you know, the way it's supposed to work is you are the Speaker of the House. The House, Republican, Democrat, and Independent. You swear people in. That's your job. My job is to do mine. So let's not cross over. And I did say, right after I was sworn in, we go and take that sort of obligatory picture. And he said, well, you know, that none of this was personal.
Oh.
And I said, I have to tell you, it felt very personal when you were telling me how to do my job. And I said, you do appreciate the fact that I could not do anything without a budget. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. And he just sort of looked at me. I said, I know you do. Because I know it's been a minute since you started up an office, but if you don't have a budget, you can't sign a lease.
Right.
So even today, we still don't have phones in our office. We were able to sign a lease, but we're working out of a conference room.
Really?
So yes, I mean, we don't have, we just got, everyone on the staff just got email last Friday. So we also have to appreciate that this administration has cut a lot of services in the House. And I think that that's also something to note.
Your first bill, Save Oak Flat from Foreign Mining Act, that was the first bill trying to save sacred land for the San Carlos Apache tribe, that First Nation group that's been fighting so hard. What's that about?
It's literally, my dad submitted a similar bill in 2015, mm-hmm. right after sort of the land grab in 2014, where this parcel of land was put into a rider on a must-pass bill without any hearing, because standing on its own, it wouldn't have passed. Mm-hmm. And so what's really interesting to me is on the House floor, we had a vote about keeping China out of our schools. And I think that maybe this might resonate across the aisle, because the major owner of Resolution Copper, the People's Republic of China. So all of the ore would be going there for the next 3 years. This is not, you know, when people say, well, mining is important to our community because we need that ore. None of this is going to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going out of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to pay for it if we wanted it back. Mm. So, I mean, I think that highlighting how archaic our mining law is, and I am opposed to mining in general. I mean, I think it's a fair blanket statement because of its effect on our water, on our land, the fact that there are several Superfund sites that have been poisoned. People have cancer clusters because of mining and the impact of the water and into our soil. So I think it's important that if we're going to do mining, that we make sure that whoever we enter into an agreement with has to be held accountable to what they say they're going to do for the community.
Hey, what is the deal with charging foreign tourists $100 per head to visit Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, and other national parks? Just before you answer that, just a little aside, I was over with my lovely fiance at White Sands National Park last week, Thanksgiving week. Right at the entrance, within a mile of entering the White Sands National Park, is an immigration checkpoint. What in the world message is that sending to our foreign friends?
We don't want them here. That's the message. Unless you are a very wealthy person with some sort of influence, or you can give something to this administration, we don't want you here. That's the message. I mean, it's pretty clear. And when you look at the beauty, that is just inherent in our nation. Why wouldn't we want people to come and see it? Why wouldn't we want to encourage tourism, ecotourism at that? What I'm really frightened of is this is what ICE is doing now, mm-hmm. right now, with mm-hmm. the resources they have. What happens next year when they have 20 times the budget that they have right mm-hmm. now?
Here's what we're going to do, since I'm the manager of the quarterbacking this. Let's take the break for Seg 3. Keep Adelita Grijalva here for segment number 3. That way we'll get about 7 or 8 minutes, right, Brandon? And Dan Shear is here from the Nogales International, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and a bunch of other WIC newspaper holdings, really all over the West. Do you have any in New Mexico?
No, we used to, but not anymore.
It's a beautiful state.
It's a gorgeous state.
We had a great time over there. Anyway, take a break. More with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva and Dan Shear.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. The first time I have interviewed Adelita as a congresswoman, but I've interviewed Adelita a lot in every other position she's had. And before Adelita, I interviewed her dad a lot. I thought a lot of your dad, and we had a great relationship. I miss him.
Me too. Every day. Literally every day.
And Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News, where he's the editor. He also is the editor of the Saharita Sun. He has a new responsibility, editor of the Nogales International, which has a rich heritage.
Oh, it does. We're celebrating 100 years now, and you go back, the Pottinger family started it back in 1925.
Wow.
And held it for 50, 60 years. And so we had Nancy Pottinger, who was a proofreader at age 9 on the paper.
What?
And telling the story. It was in today's paper. And you know what? That area has so much incredible news. The people are awesome. The area, I love the area. I've said it before, I'd move down there in a heartbeat if the grandkids weren't up north. But I just love it. I love it. And it's going to be a lot of going back and forth, and absolutely worth it.
All right, Adelita, you're going to be in Nogales today at 5 o'clock. You're going to have a kind of a reenactment of the long-awaited swearing-in ceremony.
Yeah.
Then here in Tucson, this sure sounds like a party to me, Saturday in Tucson at 4 o'clock, Pueblo High School Auditorium. Everybody's invited. There'll probably be a lot of music, right?
Yes, at both places. We're going to have the mariachi, of course. I think that I wanted to be able to celebrate in community and also to highlight that it is a partnership. This is not, our office cannot do anything alone. We need to work together with the city, the county, the state, nonprofits, local elected school board members, students. And so I thought it was really important to have these first two public events as a member of Congress be at high schools. Because I think it's important for us to tie in public education and our students everywhere we can.
Mm. Dan, go ahead.
It's been very interesting since Donald Trump got back in office that at first, let's go back 6, 7, 8 months, you had the left and the right. And then there were some things that the president has done that has really kind of troubled the right. And I think one of them, again, just happened this week, is it appears that he's abusing his pardon privilege. And pardon, I understand why it came into to play, but he's letting people go who, it's like he's retrying these cases in his head and deciding, no, they were targeted. Is this any talk on Capitol Hill? I know you haven't been there a whole long time.
Yeah, no. People are very concerned about that. And also, I don't think it's a coincidence that the people that he's pardoning have some financial resources and some advantage to Trump. And that is the scarier part. It's like we have a for sale sign. We sell justice. We sell freedom. There's for sale signs on the White House lawn right now, and everyone should be very concerned about that, regardless of where you sit, left or right.
We have been hammering away at Representative Juan C. Scomani because he has not broken from the president on anything. He's a good guy. I think he's a man of integrity. However, it is shocking to me that nobody appears willing or I guess has the guts to stand up and say, you know what, maybe Donald Trump's wrong.
You know, it's disappointing because I've known Juan for 20 plus years. And, you know, he never called me to congratulate me on an election. And
when did you first meet him?
He was before he was with the governor, he was an appointee on one of our TUSD advisory boards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
So you're saying he did not call to congratulate you?
No.
And you've known him for over 20 years. Why did he not call?
I don't know. I asked him that. I said, did you lose my phone number? Because he walked up to me at the airport the day that in the red eye that we were flying to go get sworn in. He's like, hey, I just want to say congratulations. I said, did you lose my phone number? Because, I don't edit. I just say things.
Yeah.
And he said, no. He looked at me like kind of concerned. I said, you haven't said congratulations. Oh, but that's why I came up to you. I said, 49 days later. But, you know, one of the things he said to me is that he had an opportunity to work with my dad on several issues, and he hopes we can do the same. I said, what I would love to do is have a hearing about Border Patrol in the Tohonatam Nation, and let's talk about the impacts to that community. And he said, well, I don't know a lot about that community, so I would be interested in that. I said, great, I'm going to hold you to it because I want to do that. I think the more that we can bring leadership into our community so you can see firsthand what's happening, I think it's important. I think if Representative Siskamani were there today, he would have seen what other people are dealing with. And I think that it's important that you put yourself in those situations that might not be the safest, because that's what our community is going through.
New Mexico, where I spent the week, claims to have the best Mexican food in the world. When you go to a restaurant there, and it's kind of Tex-Mex. It's like, do you want the green or the red? And I always say, well, today at your place, which is the which is the milder of the two? And they'll say green, but sometimes they'll say green's hotter. Wouldn't you say our restaurants could stand, our Mexican restaurants could stand up to that?
Okay, I have to say, my mom grew up and in Peñasco, New Mexico. My family, I have family in Albuquerque, I have family in Santa Fe, and so they do have good New Mexican food. Amazing New Mexican food.
Yeah.
Our Mexican food is better.
Mm-hmm. Where is Peñasco, New Mexico?
Peñasco, it is about, I want to say like 2 hours from Albuquerque. It's a really small community. Yeah. It's, and they have just delicious piñon. I do love New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the people that jumped out there right away when, after my dad passed away, and were the first ones to like call me and ask if they, I needed anything, were the New Mexico delegation. Everybody from the New Mexico delegation, representatives and senators.
Very good. We're very lucky to live in a place in the Southwest to have two, be in two kind of great states, aren't we?
We are.
We really are. All right, Adelita, I'm going to have to wrap it up very soon with you, but I really appreciate you coming in, and we could, you know, we won't, I'm not going away. I'm, you know, not moving to somewhere else, Hawaii or I don't know.
More tropical.
Something
but you'll,
tropical.
You'll be on, you'll be on vacation. But I do want to say how much I've appreciated you, your willingness to talk to everyone. Willingness to get down to what the story is, and really ask probing questions to try to help your listeners understand what's really happening. Regardless of either side of the aisle, I have so much appreciated your voice.
Thank you so much. And Dan Scheer, any final thoughts? I have asked Dan to come in on the final half hour on the 30th, joining a couple of media types. Nensel's going to be here. Dylan and Dan and maybe some other people for that final half hour on the 30th, which, by the way, it's almost embarrassing to say, but the Pima County Board of Supervisors is issuing a proclamation on my birthday, December 16th, declaring December 30th my final day, Bill Buckmaster Day. So my first proclamation is everybody gets the day off in Pima County.
But you deserve I will be it. I'm working. Glad to hear it.
All right. Adelita, all the best to you.
Very good.
And
Thank
Dan,
you.
Thanks very much, and we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We'll take our break right here. Then we'll have our weekend watch with 101.7 The Drive.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion Regional Transportation Plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Adelita Grijalva, who is now, of course, United States Representative, who is nursing a couple of welts on her face after being pepper sprayed by ICE agents here in the downtown area of Tucson, Arizona. But anyway, it's Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. And of course, it is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time, if you haven't been over there, enjoy the land of enchantment. There's so much going on over there. It's such a pretty state. About a 3 to 4 hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City. You kind of I-10 to Lordsburg. And put a plug in for Ramona's Mexican Food, one of the best Mexican dinners I've ever had, really, there, believe it or not, in Lordsburg. Then you head up the mountain to Silver City and you'll have a terrific time. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Ken Carr is here. Ken, it's a busy weekend. Everybody's getting in the holiday spirit.
How am I supposed to be a follow-up after Congressperson Grijalva?
Well,
that's what I want to
you
know.
Have no welts on your, you have no welts on your face.
I don't have anything that dramatic to share with you. Downtown Parade of Lights is where I'm going to start. That is tomorrow. About 55 floats and entries into the parade. There's 17 food trucks. The festival starts at 4 o'clock, parade at 6:30. And I'm going to be the MC announcer in front of the... in front of Armory Park across from the Children's Museum.
Well, talking about each float?
Talking about each float and describing to you what you're seeing as you go by. And it's a well-attended parade. Mm-hmm. We had huge crowds last year. I think this is the third or fourth year in a row I've gotten to do this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, really enjoy doing it. And the parade is just a lot of fun. So good. If you want to get into the holiday spirit, this is a good place to start.
And again, the time?
The festival's at 4. And if you like food trucks, boy, mm-hmm. this is there's a lot of them that are going to be there.
Armory Park, great destination. Go ahead.
Anyway, that's on 6th Avenue. So the parade actually starts 4th Avenue, 17th Street, north on 4th and turns west on 13th and then right in front of Armory Park.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tucson Holiday Ice, they finally got the chiller working. It was delayed by a week, so that started last weekend and runs almost every day through January 4th at the TCC, and they have an outdoor ice skating rink set up in front of the TCC, and it's real ice.
Wow.
So if you want to go by, you could scrape a little off, put it in your cocktail.
I assume you could like rent skates,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Because most people living here don't have ice skates unless they brought them from Chicago or Nebraska.
Most people have flip-flops, though. They could go skating in flip-flops.
Yeah, all right.
Socks required, yeah. Gloves highly recommended, and hopefully a little sense of balance. A couple other things real quick. Zoo lights at Reed Park Zoo.
Terrific.
That kicks off this Thursday. Well, actually kicked off yesterday and runs through January 4th. And lots of beautiful holiday lights at the zoo. And also the Tucson Tamal and Heritage Festival. That is going on at Ava Amphitheater at Casino del Sol. And that's tomorrow from 10 to 5. If you like tamales and other kinds of foods like that, you'll enjoy yourself. There's even a tamale tasting contest.
Wow.
And they go to a lot of effort to make the tamales. So stop on by and check that out.
Sounds like got one more?
Yep. We've been asked a lot on the drive about the Winter Haven Festival of Lights. That
yes.
actually kicks off on the 13th, so a week from this Saturday, then runs through the 27th.
And you walk in.
Yes. Now, it's all walking. And 76th year that they've done the festival.
Wow, that's terrific.
76 years ago, they probably did it with candles.
Yeah. All right, Ken, thanks. Have a great weekend at
the parade
and everything else. Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Thank you, Brendan, on the other side of the glass. Buckmaster signing off. Everybody have a great weekend.